we are holding in the time between Purim and Pesach, and it seems that Purim and Pesach are very, very, very strongly connected. We know that there is a notion, Mishnah Adar Marvin B'Simcha, and the Simcha of Chodesh Adar is a very broad Simcha. Of course, we also know that the Mishnah Masechet Tainis tells us not Mishnah Adar Marvin B'Simcha. What does it tell us? Mishnah Chesad Matim B'Simcha. The Gemara just comments, Kishen Shemisha Nechnasav Matim B'Simcha, Kach Mishnah Adar Marvin B'Simcha. Rabbi Feiner likes to tell the story of Rabbi Yonah Snipeshitz when he was a little boy. You know, somehow Rabbi Yonah Snipeshitz was zeicha to a lot of stories that are clearly made up from when he was a little boy, that he was very, very clever. I mean, obviously he was very, very clever. I have no doubt about that. But, you know, there's no way that these... Okay, but anyway, so they tell the story that when Rabbi Yonah Snipeshitz was a little boy, he was jumping on the bed and dancing and singing and whatever, and his father heard him, going crazy in his room. So he starts tiptoeing toward his room, and he opens the door, and Rabbi Yonah Snipeshitz immediately sits on his bed quietly. He said, well, what happened? I thought you were so happy and dancing. He said, Mishenichnasav, Mimatin Basimcha. That when his father came into the room, he was Mimat Basimcha. So they tell these kinds of stories about Rabbi Yonatan Snipeshitz. Right, the other story, the famous story they tell about Rabbi Yonatan, he was eating some kasha. I guess kids used to eat kasha.
So
someone said to him, what do you have there? He said, I have kasha. So what's the teretz to your kasha? So he finished up all the kasha and he said, there's no kasha anymore. So he used that to illustrate that sometimes the best way to answer a kasha is by showing how the kasha was never really a kasha. Okay, but anyway, the kishem is an interesting parallel, which is, they don't really seem to be exactly equivalent to each other, meaning lamashal. When we say Mishenichnasav Mima'atin B'Simcha, when does that end? Meaning, when do we go back to normal after the Miut Simcha of Mishenichnasav? What? So some say Tu Ba'av. Say the possibilities. Yud Ba'av, right, at Chatzos, right, would be another possibility. There is a third possibility that applies to the whole month, right? It's a month, that's a Miut Simcha. But it doesn't seem that way, like, experientially, it doesn't seem that way, right? By Yud Ba'av, there's like this huge weight lifted off our shoulders, and we feel like, okay, life is going back to normal. Tu Ba'av, we're already dancing and singing, whatever, you know, there's like, so it doesn't seem that it applies to the whole Chodesh Av. And yet, with Chodesh Adar, we assume Mishenichnas Adar Mar Misimcha applies to the whole month. So the kishem is a little bit strange. The gross suggests, and the truth is, even the very idea of Mishnechas Adar Mar Misimcha, that it should apply to the whole month. Why? Because there was Purim. Purim is one day. It's not the whole month. It's okay, 2 days maybe if you go to Yerushalayim on Tesvav. It's not or if you're in Vasara and you have a Safik. I don't know, it's one day. Why is it that the whole month takes on Simcha? So the Gra explains, because you know, when Klal Yisrael had to face that Gezeira, that on Yud Gimel Adar there was going to be this terrible tragedy. So you know how there are certain like things that are triggers in your mind, that like you know when you have the first nice day like this, you're like, oh, baseball's coming, right? Opening day is this week, right? There are just certain triggers. There are certain things that like bring to mind, you know, that, so having Chodesh Adar, you know, when they bench Rosh Chodesh Elul. Some people, it used to be in Europe that people were so terrified they'd pass out when they would bench Rosh Chodesh Elul, because the pachad of Elul, it was a trigger. So Chodesh Adar was like such a trigger for them, that this was going to be a time of Yagon Ha'anach, it was going to be a time of terrible, terrible time for the Jewish people. So that's why Mishnechas Adar Marvin B'Simcha, that Chodesh Adar triggers already our Simcha. When they bench Rosh Chodesh Adar, they already do it with tunes of Shoshanas Yaakov or whatever, you know, they do it with Leibedik tunes and everyone's dancing and singing. And so there's it could be on the very simple level that's all it means, Mishnechas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. But that is not the impression you get from the Rashi in Maseches Tainis. Right? Famous Rashi in Maseches Tainis. What does Rashi say in Maseches Tainis? Some of you must know this Rashi. Mishnechas Adar Marvin B'Simcha, Rashi says, Yemei Nisim Hayu Yisrael. These were days of miracles for the Jewish people.
Purim
and Pesach. What Nisim? Purim and Pesach. Okay, Purim, yes, I understand. Pesach? Pesach, what's the problem? Pesach is a Nisan, it's not an Adar. What you get from that Rashi is apparently Mishenichnas Adar Marba B'Simcha. When Adar begins, when Adar starts, we're Marba B'Simcha. It doesn't say when it ends. Just like Mishenichnas Av Mimatim B'Simcha may only go until Yud Av, or may only go until Tu B'Av, but doesn't necessarily apply to the entire month. Mishenichnas Adar Marba B'Simcha may not be limited to Chodesh Adar. It may relate to Pesach as well. It may continue into Pesach. In fact, the Eliyahu Rabbi in Siman Tafresh Pehei quotes this this Rashi, and he writes, "V'nira li deNisan hu ke'Adar," that Nisan is just like Adar. What's the halachic nafkamina of Mishnah Chasad Mar Besimcha? The halacha. In what way does it ever make a difference?
That you should want to go to Beis Din.
Good. If you have a court case against a non-Jew, you have a court case against a non-Jew. Since the Jewish mazel is stronger during Adar, you should dafka, if to the extent that you're able to schedule these things, you should schedule your court date for Chodesh Adar. Don't schedule it for Chodesh Av, right? For Chodesh Adar, when we have strong mazel, some poskim suggest that if a person has surgery scheduled, to the extent that you're able to schedule it, not during Chodesh Adar, yesterday Chodesh Adar, right? That you have this. Rav Shach happens to think surgery is not a good example because he thought that the whole idea of going to Beis Din is an idea of when there's a conflict between Jew and non-Jew, and there's some sort of someone's going to win, someone's going to lose, right? But if you're on the same team, then there's no one mazel over the other. Meaning, if you die in surgery, it's not like the surgeon just had a great day. You know, killed another one. You know, it's a bad day for the surgeon also. He's hopefully on the same team as you. So Rav Shachter thought there's no reason to not schedule surgery during Chodesh Av. But be that as it may, during Chodesh Adar, certainly you'd schedule the court date, says the Eliyahu Rabba, and during Chodesh Nisan also. Because Mishnah Nechnas Adar Marba B'Simcha, Lahalach, he says, applies to Chodesh Nisan as well. So what I want to try to discuss today is what exactly is the connection between Purim and Pesach. The fact that Purim and Pesach in this way team up to create this tekufa of Simcha, this time of the year of Simcha, there must be something inherent that connects Purim and Pesach to each other, unlike any other two holidays that may come in proximity to each other. There's something about Purim and Pesach that creates this profound sense of Simcha. So last week, during the Shir Klali, when Rav Sacks was giving Shir, someone came running into the Beis Medrash and handed me this Sefer, Magid HaRakia. And I opened it up, and it's Rabbi Daniel Gladstein, who's a Rav in the Five Towns, he used to be a Rav in Queens, just put out the Sefer on Purim, called Magid HaRakia, and he gave me a copy. He sent this person to bring me a copy. So I saw he has a whole chapter on this connection between Purim and Pesach, Kedarko B'Kodesh. It's beautiful style of Drush, bringing in from different Svarim, and from Halacha, and from Drush Svarim. Really, really beautiful style. So I wanted to just share with you what he has to say, what Rabbi Gladstein Shlita has to say about this connection between Purim and Pesach. But let's deepen the connection first a little bit. The Ramah Paskins in Simitafresh Sadi Hesiv Beis. Tov Lasok Ma'at Bitorah Kodim Shiaskal HaSu'udah. Talking about Purim. Before the Su'udah, you should learn a little bit of Torah. Right? We had at our Su'udah, Asiyum Masechta. Right? Just before the Su'udah. A little bit of Torah before the Su'udah. And the Smach Ledavar says Ramah, La Yehudim Haisa Ora V'Simcha and Ora Zu Torah. Right? So you have Torah at the beginning of the Su'udah. Says the Gemara in Pesachim Dav Vav and Aleph, Shoal and Vidarshin Behilchas HaPesach, Kodim HaPesach, Shloshim Yom. You spend 30 days in advance of Pesach learning Hilchas HaPesach. Says the Mishra Brura in Hilchas Purim, put the two together. If there's an Indian of learning a little bit before Sudas Purim, and 30 days before Pesach, you're already supposed to start learning Hilchas Pesach, says the Mishra Brura, I'll tell you what to learn before you Sudas Purim. That's when you should start Hilchas Pesach. Says the Mishnah Brura. Says of Shlomo Kluger in the Tshuvas Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo that the poskim write Yesh Lasuk B'Divrei Torah Kodem Asu'uda Hainu Sheyesh Lasuk B'Hilchos Pesach. It means you should actually learn Hilchos Pesach before you begin the Purim Su'uda. So much so that Rav Shlomo Kluger raises the following fascinating shayla. You know that there's an Indian of when two people ask a shayla, you're meshiv to the shoel ki'inyan first, Right? One person's asking on topic, one person's asking off topic. I remember when I was in Rav Shechter's shir in YU, there used to be guys that were not in the shir, but they wanted to ask Rav Shechter questions. So it was a weird thing. They'd come to shir one day, and they would just like raise their hand in the middle of shir and ask some random question that had nothing to do with the shir. But because he's such a tzaddik, he would answer them. He wouldn't say, "Who are you and what are you doing here?" He would just, we're learning about Metzia now, stop asking me about, whatever. He would just answer the question and we move on with the shir. I remember once there was one guy, this guy was actually in the shir, but there was one guy that constantly referred to Rav Shechter in third person, which he never liked. He doesn't really connect so much with that. He doesn't think it makes sense in English to refer to him, to refer to someone in third person. Meaning in Hebrew and Yiddish, it's a sign of respect. In English, it just sounds weird. Meaning people don't speak to government officials in that way, right? Or to important people in that way. But this was worse because the fellow didn't only refer to Shechter in third person. He called him the Rav. Now, in Rav Shechter's Rebbe, he was Rav Soloveitchik, and he was affectionately known by the world, at least in America, as the Rav. So this guy said, what does the Rav think about whether you should wash on a hot pretzel? Like, well, I'm in the middle of Shiram Baba Kamar. What does the Rav think about washing on a hot pretzel?
Like, I don't know.
So Rav Shechter said, I never asked the Rav what you do, whether you should wash on a hot pretzel. So the guy said, no, what does the Rav think about washing on a hot pretzel? I never asked the Rav about washing on a hot pretzel. So anyway, there is a halacha that you're meishiv the shol ke'inyan first. So that's what the poskim point out. The nafkamina of shol and the darshan b'hilchos achag, shloshim yom kodem achag, is that someone who's shol is a shol ke'inyan. Anyone who asks hilchos pesach question now is considered to be shol ke'inyan because this is the curriculum that Chazal said that we're supposed to be holding in hilchos pesach right now. So Shlomo Kluger raises the following shayla. Let's say you have two people that ask shaylas on Purim, one in hilchos Purim and one in hilchos pesach. Who do you answer first? On the one hand, that the Purim is Tzorech Hayom, right? It's today. On the other hand, Pesach is also Tzorech Hayom, because Yishol V'Darshan Shloshim Yom. And Pesach is Doraisa, it's Mekudash, more so than Purim. But you see that there's this this deep connection, that we even start learning Hilchos Pesach Dafka on Purim. We start learning Hilchos Pesach. So again, we have this connection between Pesach and Purim, first of all, in Rashi, telling us that it's the combination of Pesach and Purim that creates this season of Simcha, and second, in the Limud itself, that we learn Hilchos Pesach starting on Purim. Furthermore, the Mechaber Paskins, Mishnah Chasav Matin B'Simcha, Ubar Yisrael, Disle Dina Bahadei Goy, Lishmit Minei, Terea Mazalei. Right, like we pointed out before, if you have a din Torah with a guy, you don't do it during Chodesh Adar. And the Magen Avraham says, until Rosh Chodesh Elul. You don't do it during Chodesh Av, rather. And the Magen Avraham writes, the entire Chodesh Av. The bad mazels throughout the entire month, not only until Tisha B'Av. Says the Chassam Sofer, and as I goes to the Shulchan Aruch over there, says the Chassam Sofer, V'chein mashma de Gemara, dum yoda Adar. That it seems that it's comparable to Adar. He says, but v'linira de ein raya. He says, I don't think it's at all comparable to Adar in this sense, because the days between Purim and Pesach are mutalim bein shnei yomim tovim. They're in between two yomim tovim, as opposed to by Chodesh Av, we know what the sadness is about. The sadness is about Tisha B'Av. And once Tisha B'Av is over, the sadness is over. It's done. So then you can move on. But by Adar, you're not going to say that once Purim is over, the happiness is over. No, Adar, the happiness is created by the connection between Pesach and Purim. Chassam Sofer has such a lashon. Listen to this lashon. Nimtza yimei Purim u'Pesach chavukim zebozeh. The days of Purim and Pesach, what's chabukim? What's chibuk? Huh? Hugging, right? They're hugging each other. They're embracing each other. Purim and Pesach. That there's this connection between Purim and Pesach, some sofer says. So what do we have so far? That Rashi tells us the simcha of Purim is created, the simcha of Adar is created by the combination of Purim and Pesach. We have the learning of the halachos of Pesach already on Purim, and this lashon chasam sofer that they're chavukim zebazeh. But the truth is not just in ideas that are expressed in halacha, it's in the story itself, that the Purim story happened primarily on Pesach. Meaning, if you look at the actual story itself, there's a piyut that we say on the Seder night. Uvechena martim zevach Pesach. Right, so the piyut goes through the different nisim and yeshuos that happened for the Jewish people on Pesach, and one of those things is the hanging of Haman. That it says Rosh mi beis resha machtzis be'etz chamishim ba'pesach, and we're talking about the hanging of Haman, and that's nogei halacha lemaisa. Mishabur writes in Siman Tov Tzadi v'kasva svarim ditov lasos biyom sheni b'suuda, second day of Pesach you should have in your suuda. Eze dover lezecher sudas Esther. Have something as a zecher to sudas Esther on the second day of Pesach. Why should be yomahu nitla Haman? Because that was when Haman was actually hanged on the second day of Pesach. So you should have something as a zecher to that. Meaning the actual Purim miracle happened on Pesach. Not only that, the pasuk of Megillas Esther, Balayla hahu nad dashnas hamelech. What was Balayla hahu? Says the Targum, Be belele iskatlu buchra de Mitzrayi. The very night that Makas Becharos happened in Mitzrayim. That was Balayla Hahu, the very same anniversary of that night. The Medrash in Koheles Rabbah, Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yodeh Davara, Zu Esther Shoyse Asuka B'mitzvahs Biur Chametz. That Esther, prior to going into Achashverosh, what was she doing? Biur Chametz. The whole story was a Pesach story. And it's Mefurosh that happened this way. The Megillah says, Vayavar Mordechai, Vayascha Chal Asher Tzivsa Lav Esther. Right? What does it mean, Vayavar Mordechai? Says Rashi, Vayavar means he was over something. He violated something. He violated some halacha. What halacha did he violate? Good. He violated the mitzvah of eating on the first day of Pesach, because he declared a fast day on the first day of Pesach. So that it's interesting. It doesn't highlight achilas matzah. It highlights onig yantif. He violated the mitzvah of achilah in general and yantif. Okay, there's what to talk about. Why it doesn't highlight achilas matzah and achilas marah. But all that meaning he made the fast day on Pesach. There is some discussion. It was three fast days of exactly which 3 days. But everyone agrees that one of those 3 days was Tesvav Nisan. So whether it was Yudal Tesvav Tezayin, Yud Gimel Yudal Tesvav, whatever it was, but it was one of them was definitely Tesvav Nisan. So the actual story happened on Pesach, and it was done by Kavan that way. In Teferet Shlomo, he raises the question, why? Why would Mordechai make the fast day on Pesach? You know, they had 11 more months to be Mevatel the Gzeir, right? Meaning the Gzeir was that on Yud Gimel Adar, there was going to be this permission given to the nations of the world to kill the Jewish people. They were now holding in Nisan. So why would Mordechai say, okay, let's make a fast day today, so that we could beat this decree? How about waiting a month, right? Wait till, Iyar. There's nothing going on anyway, in the middle of Svira or something, and then you'll make a fast day then, right? Why would he do it Dafka on Pesach? So says Rabbi Gladstein, it's possible why he did it on Pesach. Because it's not only the miracle of Purim that happened on Pesach, that was engineered by Mordechai for it to happen on Pesach, by Mordechai and Esther. It's not only that the miracle of Purim happened on Pesach, the reason for the threat of the Purim story, the reason for our almost annihilation was because of things that happened on Pesach. So we dafka had to capture Pesach as a time to save ourselves from that annihilation. Oh, how can we say such a thing? How do we know that? That the reason for the threat of the annihilation happened on Pesach? So says Rabbi Gladstein, it's a medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. Chazal tell us that when Esav heard that Yaakov had taken the brachos, Yaakov, by taking the brachos, caused Esav to cry out, where did Esav get paid back for the pain that was caused to him by Yaakov in that moment? B'shushan Abira. Shenemar, it says in Megillas Esther, Vayizak Za'aka Gedola Umara, Umara Ad Ma'od, that we had a Za'aka Gedola Umara because of the Za'aka that Amalek Zaydi, Esav, had to suffer at the hands of Yaakov. So the very threat, the very idea that Haman was able to gain the upper hand for that period of time that he did was retribution for Esav having to cry out that Za'aka Gedola. And not only that, we know that day, and the point is, that day was Pesach. How do I know that day was Pesach? That Esav cried the Zaka Gedola? Good. Yaakov had to go get Shnei Gedi Yizim. And Rashi writes, was Yitzchak a chazer? He had to eat two goats. That's crazy. Ela Pesach haya. That there was one that was brought as Korban Pesach and one like a Chagiga just to give him other food. So you see that the source of the entire problem happened on Pesach. But more than that, says Rabbi Gladstein, there was the Gemara Megillah is bothered, Dafyud Beis, Amar Aleph, the Talmid Master of Shum Baichai, Mipnei Manis Chayvu Sonein Shal Yisol Shavel Sadar Kaliyah. Why is it that the Jewish people of that generation of Ahasuerus and Haman and Mordechai and Esther, why is it that they deserved this terrible decree against them in the first place? Yes, the decree was averted, we managed to, great. Why do we deserve it in the first place? So what does the Gemara say? Amar lahem imru atem. So why don't you tell us? Why don't you tell me? So they said, Mibnei shenenu misuda shalos ha-rasha. Because they were nena from the su'udah of Osa Rasha, the su'udah Ahasuerus. When did su'udah Ahasuerus happen? Okay, well, it happened over a 6-month period. It was a 180-day long suva, right? No, but says Rabbi Yonah Sinai Pshitz in Yaros Tavash, he does the incredible detective work over here. He writes, it says that it was B'tchila Shalosh L'Malchuso that Achashverosh made a Mishta. Malchi Umos Ha'olam start counting their years
from Tishrei.
Malchi Yisrael start counting from Nisan. Malchi Umos Ha'olam start counting from Tishrei. So the Mishta must have started at the beginning of the third year, which means Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Right, which is what we call Rosh Hashanah, right? That's when it started. Says the Manos HaLevi. The Manos HaLevi was authored by Rav Shlomo Alkovitz, the same author as the author of Lechadodi, right? That's what we pointed out, that Rabbi Daniel Feldman likes to say. The Manos HaLevi is his second most famous work, but it's not even close. It's like a far distant second. Lechadodi, everyone knows. Manos HaLevi is Kabbalah, Drush Sefer on the Megillah, a little bit less known. But anyway, Manos HaLevi writes, Yomim Rabim, Yamim, plural, whenever you have plural, we always assume it means two. Rabim means more than just the plural, that means three. So Yamim Rabim means that there were 5 days before the beginning of the Su'udah, before we start counting the 180 days that the Pasuk mentions. So now, says Ravina Snipes, let's do the math. From the beginning of Tishrei was 185 days. You have the Yamim Rabim, followed by the 180 days that the Megillah reports. And if you count Jewish months, 6 months, three of them are Malei, three of them are Chaser, right? They go back and forth between 29-day months and 30-day months. And it turns out that the 185 days end on Ches Nisan. And then Achashverosh made a second Seudah. For how long?
7 days.
The last day of Seudah Shal Achashverosh, first day of Pesach, says Rabbi Yonah Ipshitz. So the entire Kitrug against Klal Yisrael came about because of things that happened on Pesach. Ooh, so now we understand very well that there's a deep Pesach connection. It's not, I mean, what we noted at first, Purim and Pesach, you learn Hilchos Pesach on Purim, it's the combination of the two that create a certain level of simcha. That's a ramification of a connection that already exists in the Purim miracle itself. The entire Purim miracle happened on Pesach. It's true, we only actually fought the war on Yud Gimel Adar, and that's why we celebrate Purim when we do. But the actual downfall of Haman and everything else that happened that led to the downfall of Haman was all Pesach, that all happened on Pesach. And the Kitrug against Klal Yisrael in the first place was all because of things that happened on Pesach. But what's the pshat? Why? Why? Why is there this deep connection as far as thematically for us between Purim and Pesach? How are we to understand what the message is, what the hashkafa of this connection is? So there is a Gemara in Maseches Chagiga Daf Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us that there was a debate between Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya and a certain Apikores in front of the Kesar. And the Kesar wanted to make it challenging. So he was going to have them debate with each other, the Apikores and Rav Shmuel ben Chananya, but they couldn't say any words. The whole debate had to be in pantomime. I happen to notice this Purim, a lot of people dressed up as mimes for some reason. I don't know. But okay, the whole debate had to be in pantomime. They all had to mime their debate. So what happens? The Apikores goes like this. He turns his back, he turns his face to Rav Shmuel ben Chananya, he turns away from Rav Shmuel ben Chananya. Rav Shmuel ben Chananya stretches his arm out, right? He just stretches his arm out. So the Kesar says to the Apikores, "No, what did you do? So what was your message?" I mean, I don't understand a word that just happened because there was no words. I didn't understand what you guys were doing. So the Abikara said, I was showing him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has turned his back on the Jewish people, that he's ignoring the Jewish people. He's turned away from the Jewish people in Galus. And what was his response to you? And he said, oh, I don't know what he was doing. He was sticking out his hand. I have no idea what that's about. So he said, okay, you don't even understand the other party in the debate. You're an idiot. It kills him, right? Okay, you have to at least understand the other side of the debate if you're going to participate in the debate. And then he asked Rabbi Shimon Chananya. He says, my achvilach, what did he say to you? So Rabbi Shimon Chananya said, I know exactly what he showed me. Amada drinu mari minei. He was trying to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned his back on the Jewish people. But I responded, Od yadu netuya albeinu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is still outstretched over us. Meaning, what the Gemara is trying to tell us, and the Gra explains this in his commentary to Megillas Esther, is that the Apikoros was saying, when there's Hester Panim, when you don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an obvious way, it means he's not there. It means he's not there to protect the Jewish people, he doesn't love the Jewish people, he's not there to watch out for the Jewish people. And Rabbi Shimon Chananya was responding was, even if you don't see him clearly, you don't see him directly, he's always there. He's always protecting us. He's always watching us. And that was the debate between Rabbi Shimon Chananya and the Apikoros. What's the story of Megillas Esther? The story of Megillas Esther, what's the idea of Megillas Esther? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't appear in the Megillah, right? The story of Megillas Esther is a story of Hester Panim, where we don't see Hashem in an obvious way. Nothing miraculous happened in the entire story, just a string of remarkable coincidences. But nothing that is inherently miraculous in the entire Megillah happens in Megillas Esther. But that's what we call Hester Panim. Now, how do I know that it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's pulling the strings, it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's making it all happen? The Ramban writes, probably a top five Ramban al Torah. Chavrusa likes to rank all these things. Rabbi Raza likes to rank all these things. I think he wouldn't be maskim. The Ramban in Parshas Bo about Nisim Hagluyim, top five Ramban, right? It may be a top one, right? The Ramban al Torah. The Ramban writes in Parshas Bo, Umin Anisim Hagadolim Hamufarsamim Od Adamode Benisim Anastarim. When a person sees Nisim Gluyim Mufarsamim, public, obvious, clear miracles, you'll come to an appreciation, or you should come to an appreciation of the Nisim Anastarim, Shem Yisod HaTorah Kula, and that is the foundation of all of Torah. She'ein la adam chelik b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu at shenamin b'chol dvarenu mikrenu shekulam nisim. That a person has no chelik in Toras Moshe until he believes that everything is nisim. Ein behem teva u'minhago shel olam bein b'rabim bein b'yachad. There is nothing that is just teva, that is just nature. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does a Purim story happen? Because we have a Pesach. You have Nisim Gluyim. Pesach is with Eser Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf. Nisim Gluyim. There was never a time of such Nisim Gluyim like the Pesach story. That brings us to an appreciation of Purim. You see, we often think of it that Purim comes before Pesach. On the Jewish calendar, right? Jewish Malachim start counting from Nisan. Pesach is the first holiday of the year. As far as Shalosh Regalim, the last of the Shalosh Regalim is Sukkot, right? The last of the holidays of the rabbinic holidays of the year, of all the holidays of the year, is Purim. Purim brings it all home, right? Purim, whatever started on Pesach is completed on Purim. That's what the idea is, that when we have Nisim Gluyim, ultimately we'll appreciate Nisim Nistarim. It's because we started the year with Pesach that we can appreciate the simcha of a Purim. Someone told me a mashal. I assume it was a mashal. The person who told it to me said it was a true story, but clearly it was a mashal. The person told me a mashal that a guy had a lot of money, a lot of cash on hand, and he was thinking about investing in a certain building project, right? So there was, but he wanted to check out the project first, to eyeball it himself before he invests the money. So he's got this suitcase full of money, and he goes into this building, climbs up to the 20th floor of this construction site, closes the door behind him. He doesn't realize there's no doorknob on the door, and he locks himself on the 20th floor of a building, and it's abandoned, there's no one there, and there's no one going to be there for the entire weekend. So what does he do now? How's he going to get out? So he starts screaming down to the street. No one even, hears him. No one pays any attention. So he's like, how am I going to get people's attention? So he's got this bag full of money, right? So he starts throwing bills down to the street. So people see bills coming down, they quickly go grab the bills and they run away, right? No one thinks to look up, right? They just grab the bills and they run away. He throws all the bills down. So everyone just, you know, scuttles and grabs the bills and runs away. It didn't work. So finally he said, okay, he's at a construction site. He takes a brick and he throws it down. And all of a sudden everyone looks up. Who's throwing a brick down at me? What's your problem? The cops go and they arrest him. He gets noticed. So the Nimshal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, keeps giving us brachos, keeps giving us nisim hanistarim, keeps giving us food to eat, air to breathe, our health, our parnas, everything that it is that we want. And we're just quickly grabbing it and running away. We don't think to look up to say thank you. We don't think to look up to say, I recognize that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once he throws a brick, then we're like, hey, what's your problem, God? Why are you doing this to me? I don't deserve this. Right? That's when we look up. The Nisim HaNistarim means that we have to appreciate the Nisim HaNistarim. We have to appreciate all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. Yeah. But we're trying to say that starting with Purim going into Pesach is a time of Simcha. Because when a person, just like Pesach leads to a Purim leads to a Pesach. Because Pesach is not only about the Geula that was, it's also about the Geula that will be. It is the promise that is in the Sivus develops this idea in the Haggadah. It is the knowledge of the previous Geula that ensures us and comforts us to know that there will yet be another Geula. How will we get to a point of another Geula with Nisim Geluyim that dwarf, the Mishnah says dwarf in comparison, the Nisim that happened in the original Geulas Mitzrayim? Only when we come to an appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we come to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an appreciation of the Nisim HaNistarim, if we experience Purim properly and we appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything, then ultimately we'll get to a point of the Nisim HaGluyim that await for us, L'shana Haba, Be'ezos Hashem, Be'Yerushalayim.